Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business, this is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.
Hello and welcome to Women at Money on Money FM Radio. I'm your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.
Money 93.7 FM, your business radio.
The thing women have yet to learn is nobody gives you power. You just take it. I'll introduce the topic and the guest after the break. Stay tuned.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business, this is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.
Welcome back. It's always a pleasure to be back on air. And as usual, there's nothing that gives me pleasure than hearing from you. So please get in touch with us on +260 252 237, or get us on our WhatsApp on 0967 144 220, or indeed our landline on 0211 252 227, and get us on Facebook and WhatsApp on our Twitter handle on Money FM Zambia. Today we're looking at feminism. Feminism has been a buzz worldwide. Some women describe themselves as feminist, while others don't. Yet others still are undecided. Today, I have in the studio a radical feminist activist of all time. Sarah Longwe is a Zambian feminist activist. She's a consultant on gender and development. She was the chairperson of FemNet between 1997 and 2003. She is an author of Longwe Framework for Gender Analyst. Sarah, hello and welcome to Women at Money on Money FM.
Hello.
It's a pleasure having you here, and we're so delighted.
So am I.
Sarah, first of all, before we get into the gist of the discussion, you describe yourself as a radical feminist.
Well, yeah, I suppose people give me that label.
Yes,
radical, because of I don't give any excuses for being a feminist and for acting as a feminist. Interested in gender equality and women's empowerment.
Okay, so just before we get into just our discussion and the definition of feminism, I want to know, tell me about your childhood. How was it growing up?
Well, my childhood was full of question marks. If I was a cartoonist, I would have had very fantastic cartoons, you know, because everywhere I looked, there were things which perplexed me, and I didn't spare my parents asking questions. For instance, if women were mistreated, like my aunties would come for counsel because their husbands had beaten them, you know, I would say, why did the husband beat this woman? Or there's cruelty in the family. When we go to the extended family homes, I see that the women are being rebuked by an elderly person, a fellow woman, and I'll say, why was that woman so cruel? They said, no, she's the first wife, you know. And I'll say, but why is she cruel like that? So I always had a lot of whys and wanted the answers, and somehow most of the things had to do with the feminist issues, like in the home, I used to do all the cooking, the washing, and my brother, who was not much too elderly to me, you know, wasn't doing any of those, wasn't going fetching water, and sometimes I would do frog march him to go and get water with me.
I'm sure the times that you grew up and the now times are different, and looking at that time, you'd think then it was normal.
Well, I didn't think it was normal at all because I always asked, why am I doing this? Why can't he do this? So in most cases, my brother used to help me, and I used to stop him washing plates because we used to do communal taps, and we wash outside, and we also cook outside because his colleagues, his peers would laugh at him, and I didn't want him to be treated badly. So if it's in the dark, then he would wash plates and do other things. But during the day, I would also shield him from his colleagues. So everything was a question mark for me. Even at school was a question mark. And of course, I wasn't very good at figures. And this maths teacher, you say, "Ah, Sarah, don't worry, you are a girl." And so I relax. But now, I think if he was alive, I was going to sue him because he really disrupted my knowledge of mathematics.
Okay, so really, before we just get into me asking you what you mean by it was really a question mark, I want to know, because there's so many people talking about feminism, what really is this feminism?
Well, it's basically a human rights issue. It's about treating females equally, whether they are male or female. And if you are treating a woman badly just because they are female, because of taboos and things you believe in, you are being unfair because everyone needs to enjoy life. But now if you are oppressing one person because of their sex or because of their gender, because of the way they got oriented, you know, just like my brother wasn't washing plates because he was oriented that the washing plates was for the girls, you know. So if you start discriminating people on such orientation, which is social, you are breaking the human rights of that person. Yes. You are being unfair. So feminism is about fairness, is about choice, being able to choose, not being forced into doing something you don't like, and therefore you are being oppressed, and also being mistreated just because of your sex or gender.
So you spoke about when you were growing up, the education was a question mark and all that. Kindly tell us, what is your education background?
Well, I reached the university level.
Wonderful.
I'm an UNSA graduate. Right. I also am a postgraduate at Lancaster University in UK, where I did a postgraduate diploma in organizational psychology.
So how did you manage to get through that, seeing that there were so many things surrounding your going to school?
I think by sheer determination, because even at school, I gave you the primary school experience.
Yes, yes, yes.
The secondary school experience I had is they used to make girls just do domestic work. When we came to hard sciences like physics and chemistry. So in my class, in my school and my class, girls went to do domestic and boys went to do physics and chemistry. All the other subjects we did together, but these two, they separated us. So, but when we reached a level where we choose which subjects you should do, we were asked to choose. So I and my friends, we said, we're going to do physics and chemistry. So on the day where people were going for domestic, others were going for physics and chemistry, we went to the physics and chemistry. But halfway there, our teacher said, no, 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 you're going the wrong way. My colleagues left. I continued and argued against this kind of discrimination. And to cut the story short, the school changed that system.
Okay, so what year was that?
That was the second year in secondary. It was Form 2 then.
Okay.
We used to call it Form 2.
Okay, wonderful. Listeners, we are on Money Business Radio, and you're listening to Women at Money. I'm with Sarah Longwe, and we're talking about feminism. We shall go on a short break, and we'll come back. We will continue our conversation on feminism.
Money.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business, this is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.
Welcome back. Talking to Sarah Longwe. She's a feminist, a strong feminist, and an advocate of women's rights. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us a voice note or a WhatsApp message on 097-144-220. Sarah Longwe, growing up, did you always speak for rights of women? I know you talked about your aunties being abused, but how strong were you at that point?
Because people realize that if they came to our house, mm-hmm. and I know something that happened, or they are speaking on something that I will interject. I will also come in and say, that's not right. So I was known as a girl, a child who always asked awkward questions. So as soon as the relatives or friends of my parents came in, mm-hmm. they said to make sure that your awkward child is not around because she'll ask questions. But I always did that. And of course, I was doing it in some cases for myself, like the first two questions, experiences. Mm-hmm. I also continued later that if I do it for myself, mm-hmm. I discovered that it also helped other people. So like these relatives who came in the house, they had to guard themselves. They had to make sure they say politically correct things, because otherwise I'll jump in and talk. Even traditionally, you know, to just give you one example, that when I reached puberty, mm-hmm. You are given all kinds of advice.
Yes,
I was listening to some of them, you know, with a half-believing, and others just discarding them.
Okay.
But one particular which I heard is that when you reach puberty, mm-hmm. you are an adult.
Yes.
You are a woman.
True.
And no contacts between male members, physical contact, touching hands, and being very friendly with the male members of your family and anyone else. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
And my dad believed in corporal punishment.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you did anything wrong, you were expect to be beaten.
Mm-hmm.
You came late, you expect to be beaten.
Really?
So because of that, I made sure that if I did anything wrong, I did it well, because I know that I was going to. So if I was escorting friend and coming late and so forth, I said, I better enjoy my escort and all this. So because when I go home, I'm going to be beaten. Yeah. But when I reached puberty, the first beating he gave me, I sort of disputed.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered the teaching at the puberty that there should be no physical contact.
Yes.
So I left home. Mm-hmm. I went to my aunt until dark, and my aunt said, "Why aren't you going back home?" I said, "Dad humiliated me because he beat me in front of my friends."
Because I
let the milk spill over. Mm-hmm. You know, we cook outside and everybody sees what you're doing. So when the milk spilled over, he came and slapped me because I was playing with friends or something like that. So I felt very humiliated.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remembered the teaching that there should be no physical contact.
Yes.
So I told my aunt, "I'm not going back until that man apologizes and promises not to do it anymore." And to cut the story short, there was a family tribunal, and my father
was tribunal part.
There was a family tribunal, and my father was found guilty, and he apologized, and we were best friends as my father thereafter. We're like colleagues, you know. He understood me, that I was for rights, and anything that was wrong done to me or other people, I'll speak out. Mm-hmm. So everyone who grew up after me, I was the last born, but you know, in an African situation, you may be the last born, but you have other people you look who come and stay with you, grow up with you, mm-hmm. those never got beaten. Mm-hmm. And so much that when I had my own children mm-hmm. at school, mm-hmm. like a jacaranda here, which you are nearby, that's where yes. my children, you three see. Of four of my children went, mm-hmm. you know, the teachers knew we will be in class mm-hmm. and we'll be in the headmistress or headmaster's telling them no. And St. Mary's was the same. Wherever my kids went, mm-hmm. teachers had not to beat my children up. And I was fighting for my own family, but it was helping other people as well.
Mm-hmm. So one of the aspects of feminism comes in when it comes to gender equality. That means that the roles of a woman and the roles of a man should probably be at par. So now, one thing I'd like to bring into is when we talk about gender equality, there is an aspect of a woman being taken lobola and all those things. And on top of that, we're talking about feminism. A woman should stand her ground. A woman should take up equality. A woman should do what a man is supposed to do. So where do we draw the line? Because we bring in the traditional aspect and then we want to embrace the English kind of aspect as well.
Well, the key point here is human rights. Mm-hmm. Whatever you are doing has to pay respect to human rights, irrespective whether it is traditional or it's Western or Eastern. So our roles in a traditional way are mm-hmm. sort of like, even in the Western way, they are also preset. Mm-hmm. Yeah? But now we have reached the human rights realm. Mm-hmm. We can't continue with those roles. Mm-hmm. Like someone was asking me just before I came, mm-hmm. another studio on the Copper Belt, mm-hmm. about heaping adultery as a blame of a woman. Only when a woman mm-hmm. is seen to be in an adulterous position that it becomes an issue.
Exactly.
It's not an issue when a man does it.
It's not.
You know, that is breaking human rights on mm-hmm. sexuality of males and females. Mm-hmm. And marriage is a pact between a male and female, and you got to be loyal to one another. And then there are those aspects surrounding that marriage which seem to favor one partner, mm-hmm. especially the male. Mm-hmm. And the female should always do everything to please the male. Mm-hmm. And that's how the upbringing is as well. So that is unfair. We must inculcate fairness mm-hmm. from the beginning.
So what then would you say is the movement situation of feminism in Zambia? How would you rate us?
Well, we are very, very behind mm-hmm. because we still believe wholesomely, mostly, the patriarchalness
yes.
of our upbringing and our everyday aspect. Even if we have a Western education, we still embrace the patriarchalness in the Western education. When we come to work, you know, more boys are being educated than mm-hmm. girls. Huh? So already,
we do still have that.
We still have that, and when you come to employment, mm-hmm. even if you have two people, male and female, with the same qualifications, mm-hmm. they are likely to pick the male than the female.
What would you attribute that to?
It's the patriarchalness, mm-hmm. the male-centeredness, mm-hmm. Where we believe that men are superior than mm-hmm. women, more or less treating men as first-class citizens, and women or females. That's a male as first-class citizens and females as second-class citizens. So this male-centeredness is patriarchal, and patriarchy doesn't believe in fairness, mm-hmm, and it sort of hides behind saying it is our culture, this is the way it has been, mm-hmm. and even the laws encourage this kind of discriminatory work, mm-hmm. Culture.
Culture of
and that's the reason why, as a feminist, our work is to break this patriarchal culture starting from the beginning. And that's why you also have put questions of my upbringing
exactly.
to see where it comes from. Mm-hmm. But you can see I've been fighting it from when I was aware mm-hmm. yes. of unfairness, and I'm still doing it now. And I'm a grandmother of 8, and I'm still seeing the discrimination based on patriarchy.
I'm a key follower of a Nigerian feminist, Chimamanda. And one interesting thing that she brought out was that then in the olden days, before the actual feminism came in, the actual fight of feminism came in, we would look at the physical aspect of a man. A man is stronger than a woman. A woman is a weaker a part of this universe. So really now what she brought in was that it's no longer about the physical aspect of describing the gender equality, but about the capability of the mind, because it's there are women who get to roles there because of their intelligence, and because there's a man, they would rather pick a man. But when you look at the levels of intelligence and the kind of work that we are looking at, because you alluded to the fact that when you go for an interview, they are likely to pick a man than a woman, regardless of their physical capabilities. So how would you look at that?
Well, it's still discriminatory, and it is due to embedded the patriarchal culture. For me, patriarchy, I put it in the elements of, let's say, theology patriarchy, because in any religious yes. aspect, I haven't found a religion that really puts woman on a equal footing as a man. Then there's the biology, which you know patriarchy, which you talked about. They look at the physical aspect, and I totally disagree that the male can be more physical, because. My own daughter, she's a black belt, and she was in a class where there were male and female, and she beat males. So it's a matter of positioning yourself psychologically as well as physically, and being strategic where the weakness is. I also say there's patriarchy in the administration, which I just partly described. There's also patriarchy in the democracy, but it's not a democracy because it even says it's a government for men, by men, you know, that kind of thing. And the woman doesn't come in. And you may say it's just words, but in reality, you really see it. Look at look at all the elected positions in Zambia.
Yes, you know.
At MP level, we are at 18%. Mm-hmm. At councillor level, with 9%, you know, and we used to be lower, and it fluctuates. So, and also there is coercion. We are always being coerced to accept patriarchy. It's like at workplace, even here. I hope it is not here.
I don't think we practice it well, here. You see more women here than men, actually.
Oh good. When I go out, I'll check that out. But, you know, you can also see on positions. You may have more women, like in the Minister of health, but where are the women? They are the bottom, right? Where they don't make decisions. So patriarchy is a mindset, you know, which has been inculcated in us from a very early stage, and that's why we are having so much difficulties to get rid of it. Everybody can see the wrongs about patriarchy, but it happens. Our constitution is full of patriarchal provisions which are not helping us, like our Bill of Rights. That's why we want a new Bill of Rights. It says there's no discrimination on gender, on sex, and all the good things. Then it says. But Article 23 says
the derogations.
But. Yes,
the
derogations come, which rarefies all the patriarchal cultures and principles that I have gone through, that I continue to fight, and which you are also fighting.
Exactly. Well, listeners, in case you have just tuned in, this is Women at Money, and I am speaking to Sarah Longwe. We are having a conversation on feminism. You can catch us on 097-144-220. And our frequency is Money FM 93.7. We take a short break, and when we come back, we continue our conversation.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business, this is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.
Our guest in the studio is Sarah Longwe. Sarah, there's one thing that most people who advocate against feminism always ask. They say, why is it that most people, most advocates for feminism are single? And in fact, they don't even want to change. They don't want to stick to their names, their feminism names. They want to be called by the masculine names. Why? How would you answer that question?
Well, that means they haven't yet accepted the principle of feminism. Because if you are a feminist, you must be a feminist through and through.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we have different, we are at different levels of accepting feminism. And that's why some people put it, I'm a feminist, but...
Yes, exactly.
And also that is a stereotype, mm-hmm. saying feminists are mostly single people.
Mm-hmm.
I've been married, this year is my 50th year, with the same man.
Congratulations!
And we've been in love from the beginning, we're still in love.
Okay,
and I still
wonderful.
Advocate for my feminist aspect. So those are stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not mostly... It's not feminism is not just for single people.
Mm-hmm.
It's for anybody who believes. Actually, feminism is about believing in gender equality, committed to a such extent that you want to do something to change that negative status quo. Mm-hmm. So really, it doesn't have to be, from my understanding, it doesn't have to be a female to mm-hmm. be a feminist.
Mm-hmm.
Even a man, for me, because it's ideological, you see. It's like a Marxist.
Mm-hmm.
Marxists are not just men. Mm-hmm. They are also Marxist women.
Women, yes. Yeah. So now, give me your thought on this. For feminism, some people will take it that feminism means that if I come in from work, if I'm cooking the following day, my husband or another guy should cook. If I'm washing the following day, my husband should wash. If I'm changing the kids today, the following day, my husband should bath the kids. So where does feminism come in those roles?
Yeah, you know, feminism added is about choice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to have choice, you've got to have negotiations. You've got to speak. So if you're going to have those roles, you as a couple,
mm-hmm.
you got to discuss what is
yes.
good for our family, what is good for ourselves. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So if one person is big burdened, you know, you've all gone to work. Let's give every couple, they all work. Whether
yes.
they go to the office, whether they go to Mabala, you know, mm-hmm. doing field work, or whether they go to the market or anything, you know, selling on and so forth. That is work. Yeah. So you come back home, and even if you didn't get out of home,
mm-hmm.
you've been working all the time you've been at home, you've also been working. So everybody works. So you got to have a fair distribution of labor
mm-hmm.
Along the genders within your home. So feminism is about choice. It's not saying because you're a woman, you cook all along. My son is a great cook. So he loves cooking. So his wife, you know, they take turns because they've got different things they like eating. They've agreed to take turns washing plates and things like that. You don't say because you are a woman, you are a girl, you should do the washing plates. Nobody was born with a dishwasher in their hands. Okay, so it's a learned skill. So everyone can be taught and everyone can learn it. And it's a matter of choice and negotiation.
Okay. So getting into you as a feminist, how would you encourage someone to come on board and join you in the fight against feminism?
Well, to start with, they may have an issue, which they say, I don't see feminism in this, or I see feminism and I don't know how to go about it. So we can have a discussion around it. I don't have all the answers, but I know there are certain people who can provide answers. So if she is a battered woman, I'm not a counselor in that, I will refer her instantly. If it's here in Lusaka or anywhere, I give her the number of YWCA or any other. If she needs legal, I give her numbers of WILSA and individual lawyers I know. But we must have a conversation on something. Yeah, they must have something which they want to interrogate me more or interrogate themselves. You know, sometimes it's better you interrogate an issue with another person. It's much easier than yourself. If it's yourself, then you got to do a lot of research, you know, so that you got all the different skills around that issue at your fingertips.
So what does a feminism really do? Does feminism give power to a woman?
Yes, it does give power. Like, for instance, if I hadn't chosen and acted to go and do physics and chemistry, I would have never done it. And if I hadn't done it, that school would have always sort of discriminated against
women
who wanted to be something else. So it gives you power. It gives you freedom. It gives you a sense of purpose, you know, why you are there. From your own perspective, from your own judgment, I want to be this. Not somebody telling you, you be that. It's not your choice. So feminism helps you look out for your safety, for your well-being, for a good job, and for not being harassed just because you are female in a different way. It can be bureaucratic harassment, could be sexual harassment, could be physical harassment, could be anything. So it gives you power, and people know, you know, they know that, ah, this one, you know, there are such things.
Yes.
Don't talk to Sarah about this. You know what she will do.
Yes.
You're having a meeting and Sarah is there. No, then I'm not coming. Or some people, you are in a meeting, you know, a chair will say, ah, I'm the chairman. And say, no, there's a wrong way here. I'm chairperson. So it sort of helps people to be alert on realizing the rights of other people as well as yourself. So it gives you power. But because it gives you power, because gender issues is about power relations.
Yes.
All the rape, sexual harassment, all the incest things is about power. Someone having power over you. So if they think they can't empower you, you know, they will say all sorts of funny things against you, you know, label you negatively because you are helping other people.
Yes, so that I'm assuming should have been one of the challenges that you have gone through as a feminist activist, right?
Yes, I'm always challenging people who want to take my power away from me, and not just me, and other women as well. I wouldn't like I having power and other women being disempowered. So hence, feminism is about collective empowerment. And it is good for a man too, because if a woman uses her power, it is better for everybody. This country will be very rich if we had embraced the power that women have.
Okay. Now, quickly, as we conclude, I have a random question for you. If you were to win a jackpot of 500,000 kwacha, what would you do in championing feminism in Zambia?
Well, various ways. One of them, it could be a grant for whoever has done tremendous work in empowering other people. For instance, it could start as a foundation.
Oh, well, wonderful. Sarah Longwe, thank you very much for making it here at Money FM Studio. We're so honored to have you.
Thank you.
Listeners, that was Sarah Longwe. We were talking about feminism on Women at Money. Until next time.
Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business. This is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.